Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. I'm not going to be up here long, but I have some things to talk to you about. I want to talk about the title of my sermon. I came up with this phrase, the purification of obedience. The purification of obedience. And that's an interesting way. It's just another way of saying sanctification, which is a fancy word. It appears in the Bible. But that's what's on my heart. I'm thinking about what is it that we're to do? What and why does God want us to obey His word? That's the question that I want us to focus on just a little bit. What I'd like to do is just read four verses here in 1 Peter chapter 1, and then let's go on. Please continue to pray for me. But this is what the Apostle Peter says. He says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Be ye holy, for I am holy. And of course, that's found several times in the Old Testament. You find that several times in the book of Leviticus. But let's think a little bit about what's going on here. Now, the first thing I want to say is that when I look at the Bible, I find on many occasions times when people are asking, "What should we do?" This question is asked a lot. When John the Baptist was baptizing, you know, he was the forerunner. He was the one spoken of in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Malachi, the one who had come before the Lord. And as he baptized by the River Jordan, there were a lot of people from the surrounding area who came to him to be baptized. And the people would ask him, what should we do? And he said to the common people, he would say, if you have two coats, give one to somebody who doesn't have one. Share with what you have. And the publicans, who were the tax collectors for the Roman government, they said, what should we do? And he said, exact no man, no more than what you're entitled to. Don't defraud anybody. Be honest in your dealings. Notice the advice that's being given. There were certain soldiers there who came to him and said, what should we do? And he said that do violence to no man. Don't abuse your authority, right? And be honest and be content with your wages. Okay, so there's a lot of practical aspects to that question. In the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, we find where the Lord Jesus was walking along the road, and there was a man that we sometimes call the rich young ruler, who came running to the Lord, and he kneeled down, and I think he was very sincere in all of his desire. He said, "Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" See, there's that question again. What should we do? And, you know, I was thinking about that on the day of Pentecost. Remember when Peter was blessed of the Spirit of God, and there was a great manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God in the form of flames and in the form of people being able to speak in different tongues. And the people, when they understood what Jesus pronounced, that let the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. That struck them in the heart. That pricked them in the heart. And once again, they said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" Okay. Now, I'm saying this for this reason, because I think a lot of times we ask that question, what should we do? And notice that a lot of the New Testament is written to answer that. I mean, if you think about the letters that were written by Paul and by Peter, like this general epistle here, the letters written by John and by James and others, a lot of them are addressing that question, what should we do? And notice what Peter's answer is, be holy. Be holy. Be obedient. Follow the commandments of God. Now, when I think about the book of 1 Peter in particular, it's a very interesting book. It's important when we look at the scriptures as to who were they being written to. Remember, the Bible was written for us, but it was not written to us. And that's an important distinction. It was written to primarily Jewish Christians in the region of what we would call Turkey. And this was probably in about the mid-60s or so. These were people to whom Paul had previously preached. These are churches. Some of them are churches that Paul had actually started in the region of Galatia, in the region of Asia, in Ephesus, and all of these places that Peter's writing to. He's writing to all of these areas, and he's writing to both Jews and Gentiles. He's writing to all the Christians, but he's addressing a problem that they're facing. And the problem that they're facing is that there's a lot of this emphasis, as I talked to you about last time, this emphasis upon the law. That there were those who were saying that, well, if you're going to be a Gentile, you really need to be circumcised. You really need to kind of keep the laws of Moses. That's not my topic so much, but I do want you to see is the reason that these early Christians were being encouraged, being written to and being encouraged by Peter was that they were under severe persecution. There was a lot of opposition to them, not only by the civil government, but also by even their fellow believers who were saying, well, look, you know, if you really are going to be right with God, you still got to keep the dietary laws. It's fine for the Gentiles not to, but you're a Jew. And so you've got to circumcise your kids. You have to still keep these laws. You still have to do all of this. And you see, that's what Peter is addressing here. What should we do? How do you please God? I mean, everybody asks that question. If you ask 1,000 people, you get 1,000 answers, right? But what does God tell us? How are we holy? And the answer to that is through obedience to the Word of God, obeying the gospel. That's what sanctification really is. Sanctification is a fancy word, and it simply means to be set apart, to be made holy, to be put together for a particular purpose, to be designed for the master's use. And sanctification is basically the Christian experience. That's what we're all going through. As we walk through our lives, while we're here, not just in church, but as we live our lives, we're to live sanctified lives. We're to live lives that are pleasing to God, and they're lives that are obedient to God. And one of the principles that Peter makes, and not just Peter, but the entire Bible makes, is that when we, who are children of God, we've been given the Spirit of God, we've been born of the Spirit of God, we've been raised like Christ has been raised, we are made pure by obeying the truth. Now, we were made pure by Christ from an eternal standpoint, but in our experience, in our day-to-day walk, there is a purification of our walk, of our life, by obedience. That's why it's important. And that answers the antinomian side of this question. Remember, I was talking about if the Jews looked at the gospel and they said, well, yeah, you still got to do this. There were those who were more likely to follow Paul, who was very dear to Peter, and vice versa, who took the opposite position. Doesn't matter what you do. You can do anything you like. You know, you can just do whatever. Jesus paid for your sins. You're clean. There's nothing for you to do. You can see both of those are wrong extremes. And that's what we talked about last time, and that's what's still on my heart. But that's really what Peter is getting at. I started to say that this was written in the mid-60s, perhaps. Paul had written to these people. Paul had recently written to these people. He wrote the book of Ephesians. And it had been circulated. And the people that Peter is now writing to a couple of years later, this is still fresh on their mind. And guess what? When you read the book of Peter, it sounds a lot like the book of Ephesians. A lot of the same things are there on purpose. Because Peter is saying to these same people that Paul has preached to, remember that gospel that Paul taught you? I'm teaching you the same thing. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. Now, the verse that says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation and all the things that you do, what does that look like? What does that mean? How do we implement that? Well, I think in order for us to look at that, we ought to go back to the Gospel of John. Let's go back to the source. Because I think that these thoughts, as well as many others, are on the mind of Peter as he pens these words. And in the book of John, in chapter 17, we find where Jesus is spending time with his disciples that night before he is crucified. And one of the things that Jesus does is he prays for his disciples. He prays for the apostles. He prays for Peter and Andrew and James and John and all the others. In verse 6, I'd like to direct the entire chapter 17 to you in John. But I want you to think about these words. And remember, I'm talking about sanctification. I'm trying to drill down to this specific idea of is how are we right with God and what are we to do and why? And the answer to that is we're to believe on the Lord and we're to follow Him and we're to obey the gospel. There's a sanctification that comes from that. There's a benefit. There's a purity that comes from God's people obeying. And that's what we've been called to do. In verse 6 of John 17, the Lord Jesus is praying. He's praying to the Father, but he's praying in the presence of his brethren. And he wants them to hear this prayer. And he's praying for them. In verse 6, he says, this is the Lord Jesus, this is the Master talking, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. It's important to understand that our sanctification, as well as our redemption, all of the blessings of God, are given us by God the Father through Jesus Christ. You see, we've been sanctified, we've been made holy, right? And this is all of God's people because God the Father gave them to the Son to save. Now, if God has desired and designed so that we're all going to live with Him eternally, do you think He's going to leave us alone now? Or is He going to equip us to walk now? And does He want us to walk with Him now? Because as far as God's concerned, you're alive right now. Your life doesn't begin when you go to heaven. Your life begins now. Your life begins when He gives it to you. And you're going to find that the great joy of walking in the kingdom and fellowship of Jesus Christ, both here and there, is going to be the same. Because it's all in Jesus Christ. Now, here we've got failings, we've got failures, we've got limitations, we've got the flesh, the things that Brother Michael was talking about. That's right. That's right. But don't you remember that there was a period of time in Jesus' life when He suffered? He went through some difficulties. Now, he never sinned, but he had to go through a period of time where he had to depend upon God, and he was faced with tribulation and problem and trouble. And what we're seeing is that those things are designed, though they're not pleasant to go through, those trials of our faith actually draw us closer to our Savior. They serve to sanctify us. They make us more like our Savior. So here in verse 15, notice what Jesus says, continuing on, speaking on in this prayer. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That is His people. It would be nice sometimes. I know every one of us would just as soon be in heaven's pure realm. We'd like to not have where we are. But notice Jesus is saying, no, leave them here. Leave them here for a while, right? But be with them, right? That's Jesus' prayer for them and, I trust, for us. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but rather that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Jesus Christ prayed. And when I read the Bible, it says that He's on the right hand of God making intercession for us. I think He's asking His Father to bless us every day. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that neat? Well, that's who God is. God is love and God is light and He would have us walk in love and He would have us walk in light. He would have us trust our Father and obey Him. Let's continue. He's talking specifically about His disciples. More generally, He's talking about all of His people. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. There is a sense in which we've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus, right? We know that. We've been sanctified by God choosing us His people before the foundation of the world. That sanctification is right. But notice this sanctification is a little bit different. It's still part of the big plan. Sanctify them by your word, by your truth, by the gospel. Okay? by the things that are preached, it works to sanctify us, to make us more holy, to make us more clear-headed. We want to do the things that please God rather than ourselves. We want to do the things that are good. We want to not lie. We don't want to cheat. We don't want to steal. We don't want to do those things that are so easy for us to do. Instead, we want to think about Jesus. And we want to think about all the love that he had for us. And we want to show that love in everything that we do with all the people that we deal with. And sometimes it's hard. I get that. But he'll help us do that. As thou hast sent me into the world, that is, God the Father sent Jesus, even so have I also sent them into the world. And Jesus sent you. Jesus has sent you into the world to do the things that you're to do. He has some things for you to do. Isn't that good? That means your life has meaning. That means it has purpose. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And notice this, verse 20. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. If you believe the Bible, he's praying for you. That's you, and that's me. And notice the heart of the Lord. Now let's continue on with 1 Peter. There's another place I want to go, but I just want to take a few minutes here. This entire section of 1 Peter is really good, but I'd like you to skip to verse 22. Notice he says, seeing ye, he's talking to these Jewish Christians, and he's saying, you guys are, what I don't want to have happen, what he's saying to these Jewish Christians is, he's saying, I don't want you to look down on the Gentiles. I don't want there to be any division between you and your fellow believers. I want you to have love for all the members of the church and all the people around you. I want you to have the same measure of love for them that you do for your own kin. Because, you know, to be a Jew is to be a part of a community. And that community's not been dissolved. It's been expanded. You see? The real Israel of God has been expanded to all of his people. And he says, I want you to have that same love for everyone, for all of your fellow believers. And he says, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, which means genuine love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You see, if you got a pure heart, what that means is that it's singly focused upon God. It's the one that you love more than anyone else is your Heavenly Father and your Savior Jesus Christ. That's whom we are to love. And if you have a pure heart and you're loving God in that way, which none of us can do perfectly, you understand, this is what we're called to do, okay? But notice he says, when you do these things, this tends to purify you. In the sense that you are able to walk in the love of God. You can't walk. You can't walk in the love of God and not have a pure heart. You can't live your life one way during the week and then come to church and expect to meet with the Maker. This is a thing that we've got to work on. And that's what sanctification is. It's a process. And it's a bumpy process. And it's one that we fail at all the time. And you need to forgive yourself and forgive one another. But understand, the prize, the one to focus on, is Jesus. Okay, we're focusing upon him. He says, seeing that you've purified your hearts, you've sanctified your hearts by believing the truth. God has shown you the gospel and you responded to it. You know that this is true. Then the next step, what should we do? What should we do? Love the brethren fervently. Love it. From within. Love, because that is how we accomplish. That's how we access who God really is. That's who God is. God is love. And there's lots of other places we could go. I might as well do it. Second Thessalonians. Remember I told you that Peter and Paul are preaching the exact same thing. In Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13, Paul is giving thanks to the church there in Thessalonica. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Peter is saying the exact same thing that Paul did, right? It's the exact same thing. We've been called by the gospel. God's called us out of the life. He sanctified us. He's enabled us to believe and to follow. And that belief doesn't put us into heaven. Jesus is the one who puts us into heaven. But our belief and our obedience puts us in the kingdom. It aligns us with who we are. And that's what he's saying. And he says the same thing to this people. Well, I found one more person who had this same theme. I haven't been talking about John. But in closing, I want to go to John. John chapter 3. Now with this, I'm going to close. There's a lot more that could be said, but I don't think we need to really say it. But I want you to think about this. This is what John is saying. And I want you to think about what the apostle John, who was there when Jesus was praying for the disciples, Peter and John were very, very close, just like Peter and Paul were very, very close because their fellowship was in Jesus Christ. You can't have a better relationship than in Jesus. Okay? But notice how John puts it. This is chapter 3 of 1 John, and then with this I'll close. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What he's saying is that you have eternal life now. You're a child of God now, but it does not yet appear what it's going to be. I mean, you're in a shrouded glory. We're still here on this earth. We're, you know, we don't glow. We can't walk through walls. There's limitations. We have this sin about us. You know, we're not done yet. We're not finished yet. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But then he said, you know, when we go to heaven and ultimately in the resurrection. But notice what he says. But we know that when he shall appear, that is the second coming of Christ, and we're all with him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the ultimate sanctification on the resurrection day. Because when Jesus comes back, we're all going to be just like him. Just like him. Fully. And that's what we've been predestined to be, conformed to the image of his son. That is God's goal, and you can't stop it, and you can't change it. Okay? You might as well enjoy it. Might as well enjoy the ride. Let's not wait until then to start acting like our Savior. Let's start acting like him today. And that's what this final verse says. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In one sense, we are pure. We've been made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. In another sense, by our obedience, we are made more pure, more like our Savior. And that's what all of these that I've spoken to you about are talking about. That's the ultimate of the gospel. That's why it is written, to encourage God's people to live sanctified lives, to live obedient lives, to bring forth purity in our lives, that we might honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Thank you for your kind attention.